2 Samuel 15:23 through 16. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, all the people were crossing over. The king was also crossing over the brook Kidron, and all the people were crossing over toward the way of the wilderness. Now behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God. And Abiathar came up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. And the king said to Zadok, "Return the Ark of God to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back and show me both it and his habitation. But if he says this, 'I have no delight in you,' then here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him." The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, your son Ahimaaz, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I am going to wait at the river crossing places of the wilderness until the word comes from you to inform me." So Zadok and Abiathar returned the Ark of God to Jerusalem and remained there. And David was going up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, and his head was covered, and he was walking barefoot. Then all the people who were with him each covered his own head, and they were going up, weeping as they went. Now someone informed David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." Then David said, "Lord, please make the advice of Ahithophel foolish." It happened as David was coming to the summit, where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn, and dust on his head. And David said to him, "If you go over with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, even as I was your father's servant in times past,' so now I will also be your servant. Then you can foil the advice of Ahithophel for me. Are Zadok and Abiathar the priests not with you there? So it shall be, whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything that you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Now when David had gone a little beyond the summit, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a team of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 cakes of raisins, and 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. And the king said to Ziba, "Why do you have these?" And Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride. The bread and summer fruit are for the young men to eat, and the wine for whoever is weary in the wilderness to drink." Then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" So the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I prostrate myself. May I find favor in your sight, my lord the king?" When David came to Bahurim, behold, a man was coming out from there, from the family of the house of Saul, and his name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He was coming out, cursing as he came. He also threw stones at David and all the servants of David, and all the people and all the warriors were on his right and on his left. This is what Shimei said when he cursed, go away, you man of bloodshed and worthless man. The Lord has brought back upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have become king. And the Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. And behold, you are caught in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed." Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Now let me go over and cut off his head." But the king said, "What business of mine is yours, you sons of Zeruiah? If he curses and if the Lord has told him, 'Curse David,' then who should say, "Why have you done so?" Then David said to Abishai, and to all his servants, "Behold, my son who came out of my own body seeks my life. How much more now this Benjaminite? Leave him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look on my misery and return good to me instead of his cursing this day." So David and his men went on the road, and Shimei kept going on the hillside close beside him. And as he went, he cursed and threw stones and dirt at him. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived exhausted, and he refreshed himself there. Then Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Now it came about, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" But Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" So Hushai said to Absalom, "No, for whomever the Lord, this people, and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I shall be, and with him I shall remain. Besides, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? Just as I have served in your father's presence, so I shall be in your presence." Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your advice. What should we do?" Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Have relations with your father's concubines, whom he has left behind to take care of the house. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself repulsive to your father. The hands of all who are with you will also be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom had relations with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was taken as though one inquired of the word of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom. Luke 14. It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from edema. And Jesus responded and said to the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" They kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could offer no reply to this. Now he began telling a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "Whenever you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him, and the one who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then in disgrace you will proceed to occupy the last place. But whenever you are invited, go and take the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are dining at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "Whenever you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor wealthy neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you to a meal in return, and that will be your repayment. But whenever you give a banquet, invite the people who are poor, who have disabilities, who are limping, and people who are blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour he sent his slave to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, because everything is ready now.' And yet they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I purchased the field, and I need to go out to look at it.' please consider me excused. And another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I took a woman as my wife. For that reason, I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, Go out into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here those who are poor, those with disabilities, those who are blind, and those who are limping. And later the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, Go out into the roads and the hedges, and press upon them to come in, so that my house will be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner. Now the large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me, and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who are watching it will begin to ridicule him, saying, This person began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with the 10,000 men to face the one coming against him with 20,000? Otherwise, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and requests terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or the manure pile, so it is thrown out. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. 2 Peter 2. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these he has granted us to his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choice of you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure you will be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such a declaration as this was made to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this declaration made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Proverbs 21:1-10. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he pleases. Every person's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. To do righteousness and justice is preferred by the Lord more than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to advantage, but everyone who is in a hurry certainly comes to poverty. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away, because they refuse to act with justice. The way of a guilty person is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. It is better to live on a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor is shown no compassion in his eyes. Psalm 119:129-152. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul complies with them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is right for those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any wrongdoing have power over me. Redeem me from my oppression by man, so that I may keep your precepts. May your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. You are righteous, Lord, and your judgments are right. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and great faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. I cried out with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will comply with your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, so that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your faithfulness. Revive me, Lord, according to your judgments. Those who follow after wickedness approach. They are far from your law. You are near, Lord, and all your commandments are truth. From long ago I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.